Good morning and welcome to our audio service for this weekend. We're actually going to look at a reading from the Bible that is looking at the presentation of Christ in the temple. And if you happen to be free and are able to come along to North Nibley to the service at 9:30 this Sunday, we are going to have a special candle mass service. It's a family service, so there'll be lots of activities for children and adults, and we'll also be blessing the candles in the church as well. So a little bit of procession and some singing and a little bit of craft. So I'm going to start by reading to you our reading for the presentation of Christ in the temple from the New Testament. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it was written in the law of the Lord, "Every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping what it is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons." Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." And the child's father and mother marvelled at what was said about him. And then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel, of a tribe of Asher, and she was very old, and she had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. And she never left the temple except to worship. She never left the temple but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. And coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to whom all were looking and looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. And when Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, and they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth, and the child grew and became strong, and he was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Gospel of Luke introduces Simeon as an old man who is waiting. But what form of waiting are we talking about? It's interesting, isn't it, to think about what it would have been like for Simeon on that day. Is he an old man that's been crouched in a corner moaning about how long he has to wait? Simeon counted the days, we are told, until God revealed what he had promised to him personally. But he didn't count those days like a prisoner striking one line at a time on a cell wall in chalk. As Simeon gazed into the brand new eyes of Jesus Christ, he feels God so close in that moment. Similarly, Anna had planted herself in God's presence for decades, turning the grief of a young widow into lifelong prayer. Waiting on the Lord became her daily practice, not her daily penitence. Well, I am very bad at waiting. My own waiting often feels like impatience and irritation. I grit my teeth. I try to just hold on until I can move past whatever my current trial might look like. Waiting, for me, is a period of time that I want to get out of as quickly as possible. I certainly don't welcome waiting in. So what would it look like to shift our mindset to a place where we sit in the waiting time and anticipate what God will bless us with? About what we will receive if we sit and wait. Imagine how different it would feel to change our own frustration into something that was so much more fulfilling. Simeon and Anna are such amazing examples of how God wants us to wait in anticipation. Not to be bored, not to fear. Our hardships would look so different through the lens of curiosity and welcome in the waiting. Simeon's own name provides a clue how to go about that, because it actually comes from a word that means to hear intelligently. There we go. So if you're thinking of naming a baby, maybe Simeon might be the right name if you're wanting a baby to be intelligent. I have far more practice in hearing fearfully or angrily or half-heartedly or distractedly than I ever have of hearing intelligently. Simeon, on the other hand, is portrayed as deliberately listening to God's Spirit, and we're told that the Holy Spirit rested on him in verse 25, and then the Holy Spirit showed things to him in verse 26, and then the Holy Spirit moved him in verse 27. So we know for sure that Simeon is an intelligent listener. How often do we sit and let God just rest with us, rest upon us? Do we ever open our hearts to God in a receiving way, just listening with peace and hopefulness, no expectation? When was the last time you cried out to the Holy Spirit and asked it to come and dwell with you? Simeon was wise. He could tell the difference between his own impulses, and he focused on what God was trying to tell him. This must have meant that he was willing to take in difficult messages, not just what he wanted to hear. He really is quite some chap. And it meant he had to step out in obedience, acting on what he heard and what the Spirit told him. And we know what this is called. It's called discernment. The outcome of Simeon's listening is one of the most tender scenes in Scripture. Simeon enters the temple to discover Mary and Joseph with their newborn baby, and he picks up the baby Jesus. He is the only person in the Bible where we are explicitly told they held Christ in their arms. It's only Simeon that has done this. There is nothing about the shepherds doing it, or the kings, or any of his cousins, just Simeon. And in that act, he provided a perfect image of not just meeting Jesus, but receiving him into his self. As Simeon gazed into those brand new eyes of Jesus, imagine the comfort that he would experience. Imagine looking into Jesus's eyes. Imagine the sense of looking into God's eyes and being still in that moment. feeling an overwhelming peace and calmness. Nothing outwardly about Simeon's life had changed. Yet he told God that he could now die in peace. His inner disquiet had been calmed by Christ, and his soul was at rest. In our reading from Luke, it tells us in verse 25, it says, "Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him." Simeon knew the consolation of Israel was not an event or a change. It was a person. And then we have Anna. Now, Anna responded to Jesus much the same way as Simeon. Jesus' existence there on that day in the temple was the only evidence that she needed to recognize God's redemptive hand. Christ, a baby who couldn't even walk, became the focal point of her praise and her adoration. And when we are scared or we are uncertain, we pin our hopes on answers, more than one of those answers, and more than on the one who answers. We can pray with very specific expectations. I do that all the time. And when God doesn't respond according to our narrow guidelines, I know I despair sometimes. I wonder where God is in all of this. Meanwhile, Jesus Christ arrives in our distress as a baby with no words. Here we have God bundled in a form that we didn't see coming. Each of us will have examples in our own lives where we are so intent on asking questions and looking for answers, we require and, I don't know, can be oblivious that Jesus is actually sitting there with us. We are so intent on sorting everything ourselves that we miss out on the best antidote to all our fears and our anguish. Let's therefore learn something from Simeon and Anna today. Let's try and be intelligent listeners like Simeon and like Anna. As the season of Christmas ends and we begin to think about Lent, let us be present in the smallness, in the waiting. Can I encourage you to be ready to receive? And this won't be easy, because being that open, it can make us vulnerable. But I encourage you to sit in the smallness, in the waiting, and let us wait with a need to strip everything away. Christ makes himself known to us in these unforeseen ways. Jesus makes himself known to us through the very limitations we strive to overcome. God in the form of a baby, so small, yet so precious, and so wonderful, and so life-changing. And Anna made a point of talking about this baby. She spoke about Jesus to all who were waiting for redemption, it says in verse 38. Anna didn't view Jesus as a secret revelation exclusively meant for her eyes only. She has no possessive stinginess. There's a huge generosity in what she does. It's like in the feeding of the 5,000. The gospel always multiplies itself to fill the hungry crowds with more left to spare. And Anna understood that God's comfort is intended to continually reach outwards. Anna didn't wait to see how Christ's life unfolded before spreading the word. She didn't need to see how things turned out first. And because of her generosity to tell others, her sharing, it just bubbled over and expanded into her own joy. We are all part of Anna's audience, even today as we read those words from Scripture. I believe everyone is looking for some form of rescue. Everyone is looking for wrongs to be made right. Everyone hopes and longs for suffering to be over in these bewildering times. Anna joyfully points us to the child and she repeats her message. He is everything. He is our consolation and there is no shortage in him. And as it says in Isaiah 9 verse 7, there is no end to the increasing peace that the Christ Jesus brings. Amen. Let us pray. Blessed are you, Lord our God. You give us life and you continually renew and refresh us with your presence and with your love. You are the strength of the weak and the light to all who walk in darkness. Blessed are you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Lord God, may we reveal your joy and power in our daily living. We ask your blessing upon our church, upon St. Martin's, and upon the Tyndale Benefice, and all of your faith communities and wider community, that we may be obedient in your word and seek to bring others to know your glory. We ask you to bless all who preach and teach in the faith, that they may have the power to reveal you and your love to others. Lord of love and joy, hear us and refresh us. Lord our Creator, we pray that we may use the world correctly. Let us not squander or waste the resources that you have given us, but use them to your glory and the benefit of all. We pray for all who monitor our planet and its resources. We ask your blessing upon scientists and politicians and all who work to care for and improve our world. And we remember today all who suffer from deprivation and from poverty, from hunger and from loneliness and from homelessness. Lord of love and joy, hear us and refresh us. Lord, we give thanks for our own homes and all that you have given us. We pray for those who provide us with our food and our daily needs. We ask your blessing upon all who work to provide good homes and shelter for the poor of our world. God of love and joy, hear us and refresh us. We remember today all who are running out of resources. We pray for the fearful and the anxious, the sad and the lonely. We ask your blessing upon all who are ill and cannot cope on their own. We remember all who through ageing or illness need regular care and attention. We pray for all carers and all who work in the health service. Lord of love and joy, hear us and refresh us. We rejoice in life and that you give us life eternal, renewing and restoring God. We remember in your presence our loved ones departed and ask that they may rejoice in your presence and in the fullness of eternal life. We commend them and the world and ourselves to your unfailing love. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. And let us say the words of the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And I wish you all a good week ahead. We hope that you will find blessings, and that you will find that time to just sit with Jesus and allow him to have a conversation with you. You know, maybe just sit there and don't ask any questions or make any requests. Just sit and ask for him to sit with you, and then listen to what he has in store for you this week and whenever going forward in your lives. And I hope that you find that blessing. So I'm going to say the grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Have a wonderful week. God bless you all. Bye-bye.